Welcome, boys and girls and children of all ages. This is Mike for Heroes Asylum, issue 124 with Kane. With Kane.
What's up, buddy?
Well, you doing, man? It's like peanut butter and jelly. It's Mike
peanut
and Kane.
Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Sorry.
It's okay. Hey, folks, he's not doing the dance. It's okay. Don't worry.
Oh, you're not seeing the dance. It's too bad we're not doing live cameras anymore.
It's funny you did that. At my old job years ago, my team, we had a competition against all these other teams, and I was like, hey guys, if we win, I will get up on my desk and I will do the peanut butter jelly time dance.
Oh my god.
Thank god they never did it.
Oh, thank god.
That was their motivation, but unfortunately we didn't make
not
it.
See that.
Yeah. So how you been, man?
I've been pretty good. I've been super biz, I guess, like you have. So I'm just getting some stuff from some future stuff ready for to drop, which I got to start this week, because if I don't, I'm going to be mad at myself, and actually several other people will be mad at me. So I have to do it this week and start it. And but busy with the day job and some other stuff I'm trying to do. I'm actually reading again, which is good. I'm doing the Batman World. I've read the first issue of that. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. So I've been reading that, waiting for the next issues to drop. And looking forward to a lot of good stuff that's going to drop in October, especially comic book-wise.
Yeah, it looks like a lot's coming out.
I'm not sure you've seen the list, but the list is really, really good. I'm going to have to start going to Acme and start like laying on, you know, putting some stuff away so they can put it to the side for me so I can start reading.
Yeah. Well, apparently one of your cohorts on one of your little projects may be making a guest appearance here shortly. I'm going to put the pressure on her right now. But your co-host for one of your podcasts is dropping. We're going to have Melissa drop in every once in a while just to say hi, let you guys get to know her and see if, you know, if you like her or not. Have a different voice than us. So,
yeah, I know you guys like us a lot, but, you know, even now and then I get tired looking at Mike's face. He gets tired looking at mine. So it's nice to have someone like in between, you know, like peanut butter jelly, throw some bananas in between or something.
So I did something fun this week or this weekend. Today, more specifically, I got to experience some great nostalgia. Fathom Events is doing a this week. I think Tuesday is the next day they're doing it. They re-released the original 1986 Transformers animated movie back out to the big screen.
So how was it? That's right.
You really cool. Yeah, it was really fun. I loved, because it's Fathom, they like to do like make it fun, so it's not just the movie. They didn't, you obviously they don't do trailers, but what they, or they did a couple of trailers for some of their events, but what they really did is they had like fan-made mini films beforehand. One was Jazz trying to, he was on set and he's like, well, what do you mean I die? Oh, that's what happens when people, you know, we're canceling your toy line and we're going to be doing something different. And what do you mean? Well, Optimus dies too. And you see Optimus over on the side drinking coffee. He's like, what? So yeah, they had like these cute little like mini, you know, mini films beforehand. And then it jumped in. It was just great to see it in the big screen. And it's so fun. I was literally around the corner from where I originally watched it, because I originally watched it at the we're here in Altamont. We have I think it's still around, but we had a movie theater called Interstate 6. It's now called The Picture Show, which was like $1.50. I don't know after pandemic if it's still up and running or not, because I mean they were pretty cheap. So I mean I don't know how much their cost of running the place is, because they were like $1.50 to go in and watch old movies. And so
that'd be a nice place to go. I didn't even know that was still up.
I don't know. That's what I mean. Since the pandemic, I really haven't, you know, looked around. I should take a look and see if that thing's still open, because that's kind of fun.
I would like seeing some old movies.
So, but yeah, did that today. I was surprised. I will tell you this much. It's not that the theater was packed. There were a lot of people in there. I was just surprised there were a lot of people there to see the Transformers.
Well, it's Transformers, man. Nostalgia. I mean, there's a lot of older nerds like us around
but
there.
But that's one thing that's surprising. The generation. The generation gap was huge in there. Yeah, it was. You had some young kids, you had parents, you had a couple of like 20-year-olds, like, you know, Gen Zs in there with the, like, they were going out on dates with their girlfriend, you know, middle of the week, you know, or weekend, you know, going out on a date. It was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I approve of that boyfriend. It's a good boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yo, approval, you know. And then of course you had, you know, the old and crusties, me and my friend, and so it was just an early to go to the movies that early. Whew. especially after the night of that we had last night.
Oh man, I don't know how you made it. I was still sleeping. Actually, I woke up a little bit earlier. I had to watch.
I had to set my alarm clock, or I knew I wasn't going to wake up on a Sunday morning. That's a no no in my house.
That's a
All right. So what? Speaking of nostalgia, I posted this week on Facebook, or last week actually. I don't remember seeing a response from you. But what is your thoughts of Flight of the Navigator getting the female reboot?
I think we talked about this. So I think it was probably through text. I don't have a big problem with it, because the reason they're like, oh, it's directed by a female, it's going to be girl-centric. But I'm cool with it as long as they pay homage to the original. That's it. Like, if it's the same ship, it's come back to Earth, and maybe a girl actually attracts it, and they go on crazy adventures, that's fine. Bryce Dallas Howard, she's done a kick-ass job, and she did a couple episodes of The Mandalorian. I think she's directing some other stuff on Netflix as well. So she's an up-and-coming director. So why not? And it's not a popular IP, but it is recognizable. So you get it out there, and it's almost time for it to get Explorers. I think it's time to do another a remake of Explorers. Throw that one out there as well. Shoot, the one we've talked about for a long time, The Black Hole. You know, I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet, but it's a good move, you know, especially nowadays with the CGI they could do, especially for the ship.
Yeah. I mean,
and they got to bring Pee-wee back as the voice.
Yeah, I definitely got to bring him back. You know, he's still here. So, but yeah, I'm right on par with you on that one. Yeah. Cause I'm a big fan of everything that she's done so far. I mean, she's done, two episodes in The Mandalorian. She did chapter four, The Sanctuary, and then chapter 11, The Heiress. So, I mean, everything she's done there, she's done the rest of development. She is known a lot. I mean, probably more people would know her from her acting time. If you look at the Twilight Saga, she was on there. I think she played Victoria Sutherland.
Which I didn't know until later on, because she was covered up with a lot of makeup. Her hair was cold.
But probably most people will probably more recognize her from the latest Jurassic World series that came out. She was in Fallen Kingdom and, of course, Dominion. And then, well, Dominion is coming out soon.
Yeah, I think it's next year. It's supposed to be the last
one. Yeah, that's the date we have for that. But yeah. So, I mean, she's not just director, but acting. And I think everything she's done, and if anybody gets a chance, I know I've talked about this a whole bunch before, is check out the gallery series that's on Disney Plus, and they talk about behind the scenes. And there's the season one of that. There's a bunch of episodes where it's literally them, all the directors, sitting there together at a round table, just BSing their love of it. And you get a feeling that she really gets what's going on, and gets the importance of doing something right and having the proper nostalgia behind it.
Yeah. And if she's going to throw her passion like she did in the episodes of The Mandalorian, that bodes well for the Navigator, because like I said, that's something from you and I's childhood. That's something that we'd adore. I mean, we're not gatekeepers for it, but I'm kind of open-minded when it comes to like doing remakes on some things. As long as you don't crap on the original and be like, it doesn't exist in this world, we don't know what's going on, just pay a little homages to it. Like, hey, like, maybe you can find the kid who played, I think his name was Henry in the original one. Maybe he's aged up, and maybe she goes to his house. Hey, man, you know, the ship is out of control. What do I do? I remember that adventure. And you could just, you know, you could just do something like that. It just pays homage. Yeah. I would like that. But then again, it's just nothing but good news. And I think she's on her way. I mean, directing is in her bloodlines. Her dad is Ron Howard. So, you know, I think this is only going to, you know, help her resume go up and up, and she'll get bigger projects down the road.
Oh yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of nostalgia, and this is going to be a sensitive thing for you, because I know you're a big fan of this movie. What about The Lost Boys? They're announcing that they were trying the TV series, and the pilot just wasn't getting moved forward. It was just sitting there. I mean, I could tell you how many years you and I have talked about it sat there in development hell on CW.
I think we talked about that in the early stages of the asylum. So yeah, that was literally in development hell. I think they called it. They made a pilot, like you just said. They didn't like it. They got rid of the entire cast. Recast it. Did it again. Still hated it. Now it's going to be a movie, I guess that's the big thing.
Yep. Yeah. That's what they're looking at. It looks like. Screenwriter Randy McKinnon and Jonathan Entwistle will be directing it. A Quiet Place franchise actor Noah Jupe will star alongside It actor Jaden Martell. So, I mean, we're looking at a younger cast, which, of course, I mean, it's got to be The Lost Boys. You can't have, you know,
Yeah, you can't have like the lost old men.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, a lot of those actors are still around. You might see some of them on there.
Yeah, you might. I mean, I don't know. Like, do you reboot the whole thing or do you just carry it on? I mean, I don't know. It's
they can continue it. They just say, hey, that they're back, or, you know, maybe it's not in
Santa Monica.
Wherever they were. No, it wasn't Santa Monica. It was another San.
Oh, no, it was Santa Clara. Clara.
So yeah, they were, you know, they were in someplace else. I mean, from what I read, the show was so in the television series was when a mother and her Gen Z sons moved to a seaside town where she grew up, and they discover sinister reasons that the local kids sleep all day, party all night, never grow up. So I mean, very similar to it, but I think there was a slight twist.
Like I said, it depends. I mean, I would love a continuation. I'm all about continuations, especially with we got Ghostbusters Afterlife coming out pretty soon. That's a continuation.
Yep.
We just talked about Flight of the Navigator. We think that's going to be a continuation. I would like them to just continue it, you know?
Yeah.
I would like it like, okay, maybe it's not Santa Clara. Maybe it's in Seattle somewhere else. It's like another family of vampires over there wrecking havoc. I don't know. Maybe you throw some wolves in there. I don't know what you're going to do. But
are you talking going Twilight on them or something?
I don't know. You could add something different. I mean, you know, that's just me. You can add a werewolf. There was actually a werewolf. No, there was not a werewolf in the first one. There was a, what do they call it? A hellhound. That's what he was. He was a hellhound.
Well, yeah. Well, no, it was just the legend with vampires is they always either, if they don't have a werewolf, they have a hound that watches over their sleeping area.
Yeah. So I'm for it. I mean, I just hope it's not like those sequels that follow the original Lost.
Yeah, that's one thing I heard.
I'm so worried about it.
I saw all over the internet everybody bitching, going, "Don't fuck up my Lost Boys." I was like, "Did you motherfuckers see the fucking sequels?
Did you see the Lost Tribe?"
I mean, come on! It was like they were horrible.
They were not even like, ugh.
I think I posted on one of them. I was like, "Hey guys, they can't do any worse than what the sequels did." I mean, they may even make it, may even improve it.
They might improve it. I mean, God knows I can improve it with my iPhone. They were terrible. It was awful, especially like that Lost Tribe one. I rented that. I was like, oh my God, it's the next Lost Boys.
What was the last one that came out? That one wasn't too bad.
There was the Tribe, and there was the one after that, which wasn't that bad. And you know what I hated, though, in those movies? Because, you know, one of my favorite songs from the original Lost Boys is Thou Shalt.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the song, but they kept redoing
Cry Little Sister.
They kept redoing that song each movie in different bands. And like the first one was awful. I was like, this is terrible. The third one, when they redid it, wasn't that bad. Then Marilyn Manson did it. It was actually pretty good. But I hope they don't redo that song. I don't want to hear that song anymore. I'm kind of over that song. Make a new song. Do something else.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunately, you're going to have to deal with that one because that's going to be.
I know it's part of the legacy of the film. I get it. It just, I don't know. I'm tired of that song. It's just, especially the way they ruined it for the Tribe. And God, I wish I could find out the name of that third movie. But yeah, it wasn't that as bad as the Lost Tribe. But like I said, just homage to the original and move forward. You know,
the
just
Thirst. Like, that's what it's called. The Thirst.
Ooh, that's even worse. The Lost Tribe. The Thirst.
Actually, I think it's the Thirst is the one I actually kind of enjoyed. I think that was the. So I'm trying looking at the posters right now, and I think it was the Thirst that actually was better than
the Lost Tribe.
Yeah, the Tribe was
the Tribe was terrible. They had some guy who was like Bodhi as the main vampire. I was like, this is not gonna work.
Yeah.
He's a surfer.
So what do you got?
I got lots of stuff, man. What do we got here? Have you heard about the Marvel they're actually bracing for a legal fight to hold on to its characters?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which I think is quite humorous. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, I think it's funny too. I just brought it up just for conversation's sake, but it's interesting. Like these, I guess after a while, the certain rights can reprimand back to the origin and, you know, they could get it back. And like I was watching the John Campia show and he was making some like, just what if like, you know, these characters' rights went back to certain people and they, and like, let's just say they go back to Sony. Like you could have a Batman and Spider-Man film. As like detective team ups, like, yeah, you could, but that's not going to happen. And I don't think the rights want to be sold. I mean, it's nice to conjecture. It's cool and nice to speculate, but I just think it's not good. Like Marvel's got too much dough. It's not going to happen.
mean, yeah, that's yeah. They're going to be able to buy their way out of it, but I just hope they don't go cheap like they did a few years ago. There were some writers that they tried to pull that with, Disney did, and they only paid like the family $5,000 for the rights. And I'm like, what is no? You need to come off your fucking pocketbook a little bit more than that, Disney, because the amount of money you're making off of these people's profits and their creativity, and I mean, I'm sure you know it. The way comic book writers were back in the day, they were basically contract hires. They didn't own the rights to that kind of stuff. It wasn't until later on, like the 60s and the 70s, more 70s, where the writers started becoming more important. That's when you started seeing the writers' names on the covers, you know, in the artists and everything. So that's why it's, you know, you're looking at Kirby, you're looking at Lee's of, estates looking at this stuff as well. So yeah, it's definitely... It's interesting. I think what's basically going to happen is, Disney and Marvel's just going to have to come up off the money a little bit and not make as much of a profit as they were before. Yeah,
they got the money, man. That's a billion-dollar studio. I mean, they got the dough to pay the writers, pay them. I mean, like, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have your billion-dollar studio. Just get off your ass, like you said, pay them. Yep. Pay the guys. Pay them.
Yeah, because you got to look right now. I think it's Ditko's son Patrick, he sent notice of termination, and Ditko has for Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, I mean, and that doesn't just fuck with Marvel and Disney, that fucks with Sony as well. So you're throwing in like a whole heaping lot of people getting involved. So it's interesting to see what's gonna happen. I think really what's gonna happen is they're gonna come up on money and
they're just gonna end up paying. They're just gonna pay him out.
I mean, which is fine. It's like that those estates need that. I mean, that should be how it's done.
Yeah, those, and like I said, we don't have those writers, we don't have those films, we don't have those characters. Just pay the guys, get it over with. And I just thought it was kind of funny, like, oh, it could go back. It's not going to go back. They don't have they're not going to win a law in a courtroom against Marvel. I'm sorry, that's Disney money behind them. Super lawyers, is not going to happen. But it's nice to conjecture. So what you got, bud?
Oh, let's see, Anthony Mackie. I was kind of excited because I didn't know they were doing this, and this is probably one of my favorite video games of all times. Anthony Mackie will star in a Twisted Metal live-action TV show.
Ooh.
I was excited. Again, just the fact that they were doing a Twisted Metal show, and I'm like, or movie, I'm like, well, what took so freaking long? That's easy. You know, it's Mad Max meets, Fast and the Furious, basically.
Yeah, it's
so crazy. Yeah, so yeah, but yeah, it's the Twisted Metal live action series. They've got Anthony Mackie, and let's see, he'll most likely play John Doe, I think is what they were saying. And I think he's going to be playing, I'm trying to remember the character, I haven't played it in so long. The one character that was strapped to the wheels, like, he was surgically strapped to it.
Yeah, like you can make some wild characters from those games. I mean, they had the weird guy with the spike hair, and they got some strange characters in those games, but it'll be fun. I mean, is it a Netflix series? I think it's going to be.
Was it Netflix? I didn't see.
I thought it was Netflix.
Yeah, no, I don't see any name of where it's coming from on this. I'm reading off a Deadline right now, and I don't see anything. It's coming from Sony, but nothing about where it's being distributed.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, that should go out to the go out to the theaters. But it looks like it's being penned, and I love the fact of who it's being penned by. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who penned Deadpool. Ooh. So you know it's going to have that kind of humor, not the Deadpool humor, but it's definitely going to have humorous undertones. So it has to with all of this.
You got to. With all that wackiness, you got to have a sense of humor. You can't take that thing too seriously. It just can't. It just doesn't work. Mad Max is a serious thing. This is not. This is fun. This is crazy stuff. This is metal. This is fucking trucks, machine guns, guys with spike hair flying around, guys attached to trucks who are rolling around wheels. It's going to be insanity. It's going to be madness.
Okay, so Mackie looks like he's going to be playing... Actually, he's going to be playing Sweet Tooth. I take that back. I was reading further in the article. Yeah, so it looks like he will be playing Sweet Tooth, and it's the rest of the cast is unknown, but there is rumor that Will Arnett, who's an executive producer on the show, it says show, so maybe it's a show. See, this is... Deadline's got it all confused. It says, it's a TV show based on the franchise. Okay, so that'll be interesting.
Probably being on streaming. I don't think it's
pretty much everything's going to go on streaming. But yeah, it still doesn't say where it's coming or going to. But I think that'd be great.
I would like to see it.
Yep. So what else you got there?
Did you see the first clip for one of our favorite adaptations coming to Netflix next year, which is The Sandman? They showed a little teaser
clip. Yes, I did. Yeah. Yep.
Got me very excited. And then they released these posters, which I wish I could share with you now. But actually, it just shows like the not the three main antagonists, but three of the main characters. You get Dream, you get Desire, and then you got Death, which, you know, the actress is okay. It's just I wish Death was the little goth girl, because yeah. Death is just a white goth girl. She's not a black woman. I mean, no offense. I'm just saying that that's I wanted to see her like the way they did in DC Showcase, where she was like the little gothed out girl.
There's something more. There's something creepier about her being a
little goth girl.
Little goth girl. That's, you know, that's more. It's scary because that's Death. But you look at her, she doesn't look like she could do anything to you.
Yeah, she's harmless.
Yeah, and I like the actress that they're picking. I think she'll do good, but I'm not getting the same sense of dread from her like you would with Death from, like you said, yeah, the best one to watch is that DC animated one. That's what she is in the comic books anyways. But there's something about how she talks and she moves. It's just something, you know, ultra eerie about it.
Yeah, she's more creepier as like that little girl, like who's your friend, and then you find out, oh my god, this is freaking Death I've been talking to. I'm dead. And by the way, that episode was fantastic. If you never watched the DC Showcase on Sandman, check it out. I think it's on. I think it's probably on YouTube. You can check it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of the showcases on YouTube. And I think you can find it on HBO. I think they are on there. But it's on. I'm trying to find out what movie it was attached to.
Was it Death in the Family?
I think it was. Yeah, I think that was part of Death in the Family. Oh, no. I take that back. No, that was part of Wonder Woman Bloodline. That's what it was on. Yeah. Death in the Family has a lot of the showcases in it because it's such a small or such a short show or movie. They added a bunch of showcases at the tail end. So, because I think they released one DVD with whatever showcases were out were like, I think like six. And of course, they've made more since then. And this is like the secondary to it. Because they sort of count Death in the Family as a showcase because it is so short.
It basically is a showcase. If you think about it, I mean, yeah. When it was coming out, I thought it was kind of weird. I was like, we're getting this? But we already had like basically had that with Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I was like, God, I wish they didn't release it because it didn't really do anything. You just saw like Jason and Bruce talking like, hey, man, you shouldn't go here. Don't do this. You know, okay, I won't do it. That's it. And they talked with Clark and the restaurant, which that was kind of cool. But everything else was just like, I could have done without it. You know, just not. Actually, they have a new DC showcase. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet. Blue Beetle came out recently. So check that
out. I did
hear
that they were going to be doing it, so I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I've seen it. You would dig it. You're a Beetle guy. You would dig it.
I'll have to look for that.
It's Ted Kord. It's not Jaime Reyes. It's the old.
Oh, really? They went Ted? Okay. Interesting. They went Ted,
so that's what I like.
Huh. Very interesting. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. You know, I'm surprised that, yeah, they don't do Ted that often. So.
Yeah, it's because like even in Smallville, they were like when they were attempting to do Blue Beetle, it wasn't going to be Ted. It was going to be Jaime. And like that. And actually, the HBO Max series, I think it's coming out next year with our buddy from Cobra Kai. They're doing Jaime Reyes, which I honestly think
because Jaime works.
Jaime's, let's be honest, let's not be gatekeepers. Like you've always said that I try to be, I don't think you're a gatekeeper, but sometimes I can be. I like to be a gatekeeper for the original characters like Ted Kord, but nowadays, Jaime Reyes is the more popular Blue Beetle. He's got better stories.
It's much better backstory and what he is and the fact of the Scarab and what it does. Ted was more of a Batman-esque superhero who did made inventions. I mean, he was all about his gadgets.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why I think Jaime is a much deeper character because of not only is it him, he's got to deal with that you know that thing on his back as well. You know, that's why I think I have no problems with him, you know, doing that because there are certain characters that are just should not be done. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, like we're getting a Sandman, you know, coming out. Did you want them to do the original Sandman?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, they can because they're connected. When you actually read Sandman, like the original Sandman, and when they did bring him back, they explained that what happened is that because he was locked away, the the spirit Sandman was locked away, his power transferred over to this human Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
And when the original Sandman breaks out of his jail, spoiler alert, folks, the Golden Age Sandman goes away because the new Sandman's back, or the old.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's, I love the fact that that's one thing I'll give Neil some great credit for. He took that character and he's like, I'm going to make my own, but I'm going to, just like we talk about when we see, you know, movies coming out and remakes and all that. He paid homage. He's like, I'm not ignoring that there was a Sandman. I'm going to throw him in and mix him into this story. And I thought that was awesome how they did that. And that'd be fun if they actually did that here.
I don't think that would be kind of cool.
If anything, they're going to just do a name drop. You might see his name somewhere.
It'll be a name drop. Can you imagine, like, they begin the series and it's like the old Sandman from like the Golden Age, and it's like just the beginning, like a beginning montage, like him running and like doing the last battle, and then
book they did that. I mean, if you want read the comic book, and even in the Audible version that they have on Sandman, actually, which, if you're interested, folks, Audible I think is still offering the first Sandman Audible free, so you can actually listen to that cast do that before the, I think the new Audible drops I think this month or next month.
Yeah, I've heard a couple snippets of it. It's actually pretty good.
Really good. It's really good.
Smack McAvoy is really, he kills it as
it's very good.
That's why I'm worried. I want to see what Tom Sturgeon is going to do as Dreamer.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I love an Audible like that. Like most Audibles I listen to, because I'm pretty ravenous about what I'm reading, and so what I'll do is I'll listen to audiobooks during the day, and that's just one voice, you know, one guy telling you the story. What I love about the Audible about Sandman, it's more of that radio drama play where it's different characters, and I love that aspect of it.
I love that they're bringing back these Audible type of adventures now, especially like with, you know, this with the Sandman. I guess they've been doing it for a while, but the Batman has some coming out in HBO Max. They're doing like an audio thing too.
Well, I told you, 3-4 years ago about the X-Men? They did an X-Men and a Wolverine one, which was hands down amazing.
The Wolverine one was great. I love the Wolverine one. It was so good. So good. Like, if you guys haven't, I mean, yes, it's listening to people voicing characters, but it takes you back. And I've heard a lot, like when I was going to college, I actually did a report on some of those audio dramas, and you had to, because you had to like listen to them, like, you know, see the preparation these guys go through. So that, you know, like, you know, you're doing a lot of voice acting or trying to get into that business now. It takes a lot of work, you know, especially doing a character. You know, you're not in front of a live audience, but you're reading the papers and you got to bring these characters to life. You got to add that monotone, that depth to those characters. And it shows you what the preparation goes to. Yes, they're not doing live TV or movies, but it's still, they go through the same process, maybe a little bit more. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, if you're listening to this, I think you're okay with listening to people talk. So
I would hope so. I would hope so. The numbers don't lie.
What did you think about the little comment that was made by the director for Dune, Villanova, about what he made a comment about Marvel?
He's not wrong.
He wasn't. No, I didn't agree when Scorsese said it. I think two years ago, Ken Loach, I wasn't agreed with him, but when Dennis Villanova said that, I was like, he's really not wrong. You know, he basically, guys, if you don't know, he made the comment that it's basically cookie cutter movie making. If you really look at that, there's a formula they follow. And they do it very well. And, you know, he said, and he even said it, I'm not taking it back about what, you know, that it's bad, done bad. They do it very well. And I love the fucking claws. Oof, came out on the MCU fans' heart.
Yeah, of course, the MCU fans are going to get a little bit butthurt. That's their baby, man. They've been watching that for like 12 years. That, of course, anybody who makes, we don't do anything bad. But like, he wasn't right. He wasn't wrong. They are cookie cutter. They have a formula they've been following, and the formula works. And they do it every single film. It's very formulaic. You know, they get directors and say, hey, look, you can direct this film, and Kevin Feige will come in. Okay, you know what? I need you to put this in there, in the middle. But the rest of the movie, it's all on you.
Yeah. Somebody made the comment that really directors for Marvel films are very similar to directors for television series. The showrunners lay everything out, do the story, and then the directors are in there just to make sure that they follow kind of what's going on. Kevin Smith even made the comment, I think, when he was doing he did a couple episodes of Supergirl, that, you know, he's like, it's the easiest week I ever have to work because these guys already know the characters. I'm not telling them to do something different or trying to pull some, you know, new emotion. These guys have been doing these characters for, you know, years already. I'm the new guy. So I'm there just to make sure to say action, cut, and hey, you know, maybe do a different angle over there. He's like, that's really all that I'm doing.
Yeah, maybe add like a little bit of dialogue here and there. But yeah, he doesn't. The showrunners run those TV shows, and Kevin Feige runs the movies. He's not directing the movies outright, but the producers and his writer buddies, they're the ones, they put all the stories in there. Like, you got to do this and that, and that's it. Like, those stories are written ahead of time.
Yeah.
Directors coming in being like, okay, you know what? Let me add this in here. Okay, no problem. But remember, I got to have that in there too. So that's basically what it is. So he's not wrong.
No, he wasn't. No, I think it was just bad timing to make that comment. You got a movie coming out, dude, and it's a remake. So yeah, really, so, really
saying. Yeah. In the immortal words of Chris Rock, slow down.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about cookie cutter stuff, and you're basically doing a remake. And there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, this one's going to suck. I was like, yeah, but I'm a Dune fan. I read the books. Well, most of the books, I couldn't go too far in there. It got really whack out and like dry.
I'm a big fan of the David Lynch one. I'm actually a fan of the I think we talked about
that. Yeah, because you told me about the television one.
The one on Sci-Fi, I thought was really well done, and everything I've seen of this movie looks good. So Danley, just calm down.
Yeah,
slow down.
It's okay. It's okay, Marvel fans. So they're not taking anything away from you.
Yeah, nothing's going away. You're getting more good stuff. So just relax. Everything will be just.
And speaking of Marvel, did you see that they're pulling Agent Carter short that was on Disney? They're pulling that, and I think they're also pulling. Were they pulling Shield as well?
Agent Carter, yes. I don't know about Shield.
Okay, I thought I read something where they were talking about, because it really wasn't part of the MCU. Yeah, it started off supposed to be a branch of it, but because it wasn't under Kevin Feige's umbrella, it went back to, I think it went back to Loeb, and
it went back to Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, and Ari. I think it went back to them. So they never really followed the blueprint that the blueprint that Kevin sent out. So
no, and I think you're gonna see that anything that is not attached with Feige's name on it that he didn't create, they're gonna get rid of that stuff. Like Agent Carter didn't have his foot handprints on it. Neither did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
See, to me, I think Carter would be okay because I
like Carter. I did. I'm actually an unapologetic fan.
Yeah, I don't think Carter did any damage to the MCU. I think S.H.I.E.L.D. did.
S.H.I.E.L.D. did a. S.H.I.E.L.D. is just a lot of crappy. I used to call it Agents of Shit because I just did not like it. I like the first season I watched. I was like, okay, it was kind of like tangentially kind of connected to the MCU. And there was one episode was like, get the Avengers, and that was it. And they mentioned like these characters, but it wasn't really connected. Then they time traveled into the future. It got stupid.
Yeah.
But Agent Carter didn't do that. That was before everything. It was like the formation of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was like everything going on. I think they had one episode where they were talking about the Red Room. That was kind of cool. So I never thought it hurt it. And I thought, like, the only problem with Angie Carter, like, the first season I loved. The second season, they kind of, like, went into this trope. I'm not sure if you recall. The whole thing in season one was, like, the guys always ribbing Agent Carter. Oh, you can't do it because you're a girl. You can't do it because you're a girl. And by the end of season one, I thought we've accepted her. She's one of us. But season two begins, and it's the same shit. You can't do it. You're still a girl. I'm like, dude, can we not just go over this in season one? You're going to do it again? That's what I think kind of killed it, and because it was going in the right direction, but you kept having that same trump over and over again. I'm like, come on, guys. Can we do something different?
That's funny. I know a show that did that for 15 years, and it's still a...
Shut your mouth.
Shut my whore mouth. Speaking of MCU, what'd you think about this week's What If?
I thought it was fun. Was fun. That's all I can say. It's very silly, stupid, but it was fun.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. It was goofy. It's what was needed. I saw a lot of kickback online about how they're like, what was that? That was like a waste of time. I thought, I was like, do you guys want them all to be like these dark, twisted things? Don't you want something different?
Need a palate cleanser. Yeah. Like I saw it on John Rocha's podcast when he was reviewing it. He's like, yeah, sometimes you just need that palate cleanser because you get away from the darkness. I'm all about dark shit, but once in a while, I want to laugh.
Yeah.
And I was laughing my ass off. I was like, Ice Bros, that was cool. Especially seeing Loki as a giant, that was fun. The little homages to, you saw the Infinity Gauntlet where he's going through Odin's vault, and when he falls asleep, that's hysterical. They dug poking him like, Is he in bed?
Okay.
Okay.
He's out. I'm going.
I'm going. And then seeing Frigga when she was like, my mom is coming. My mom is coming. She's like going down through like the Rainbow Bridge, like just like flying down. Like, what is he? He's not touring. He's
What'd you think about Captain Marvel on this one?
I thought she was cool.
I thought that back and forth, because there was a moment in like Endgames when you saw that, you know, they had a connection, like these two warriors, but they don't, you know. Now it's, you know, she's, you know, she's being the space cop that she is, and you know, he's just a, you know, a deviant little Jersey Shore guy.
You know what I love? Yeah, pretty much. You know what I love in this episode was Maria Hill. Maria Hill was my favorite part, because Fury got taken out, yeah, and she was just all nonchalant, just nuke him. You go, but it's gonna kill Captain Marvel. Who cares? Like, it's just, she was awesome. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, they bring this freaking
thing. And I love Kat in this one too. I thought the Kat's character,
oh god,
was so like, it's just great. Is that a beeper? Where did you guys get
that? Where did you get that?
Yeah, I thought it was. I'm not sure. Again, I always question myself about gatekeepers. I mean, we're from that time when, you know, yeah, we really kept our stuff, you know, close to, because, well, it wasn't cool, and now it's cool. And to me personally, I think we should be bringing everybody in. You know, if anybody shows any sort of interest, hey, come check it out. And if you like it, you like it. I'll show you around. I'll point you in the right direction of what I know. But go. I mean, I don't get the whole, you know, this is my stuff, don't touch it.
These are my toys. You can't touch my toys. Leave my toys alone. I'm not going to share with nobody. Ridiculous. But it was fun, dude. I loved it. The whole shit, the fight that they had. I love the fact when they were going to the countries, and it had like the, you know how you look at a map and it has like names of the countries.
Yeah, I know. There. Did you notice there wasn't one for United States?
No, there wasn't.
I was like, why didn't they? That's kind
of odd. Whenever they go to any country, like literally, like the name of the country is on the state when they land there. The letters, I was like, that's hysterical. I was dying. And then Howard the Duck getting married to Darcy, that was hysterical. They were like, we're now married. Look what happened. And like Jane and Thor getting like matching tattoos. Dude, it was just fun. I dug the hell out of it. Now, the ending, though.
That was just awesome.
That was. Because you have this episode where it's like fun, ha-ha. And I think if you notice Uatu, he looked a little shocked, too.
Yeah.
He's like, what? And if you guys didn't see the ending, I don't want to
spoil. Yeah, you definitely go watch it. That's a great one. I like this one better than I like the ending of Zombies. You and I talked about the zombie episode, but we didn't really talk about the ending where Thanos just is there as a zombie thing, and he snaps. I'm like, well, where the hell? How did we jump from that to there? That just like threw me off.
Why couldn't it just end with them on the plane?
Exactly. You know?
I didn't need to see zombie Thanos.
Yeah, I just.
Is he coherent enough to snap the gauntlet?
I guess like, he was. Yeah.
The rules of these Marvel zombies have not exactly been explained. Like,
no, there's certain ones that are off. Like, I think Tony could still understand how to control everything.
Yeah, he still could control his hand, and like Doctor Strange, Wanda could still do magic. I'm like, wait a minute, you lose like certain rotary skills when you're a zombie. It's only like the basic instincts that you have.
Well, I mean, you got your different zombies, though. I mean, you of all people should know that as a horror fan, you have your different level of zombies. You know, you have your Night of the Living Dead, walking, dropping their body parts. Or you go get your, you know, your runners like World War Z, or the most recently Zack Snyder's, you know, Army of the Dead, where where they're more, you know, thought process, and they have a society built up around them. So I think there's different rules, but I agree with you that the Marvel zombies kind of broke protocol, because some remembered stuff and some did. It was really weird.
I think it was one of those episodes that they wanted to make, because a lot of look, I don't know how you feel about the Marvel zombies run, but a lot of people liked it.
It's a big run. Yeah.
It's a big run. Like, people dug it. And I was not one of those people. I thought it was cool. It looked kind of, you know, looks nice on a piece of paper. Not much of a story to me, because it's just nothing. But I think they were like, you know what? This is popular. Let's make an episode. And they did it.
Yeah.
It was fine. I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of the ending. They should have just ended it with those guys in the plane.
I'm not a zombie fan to begin with. So that's why I never really got into the Marvel zombie. I thought it was cool, the concept behind it. But yeah, again, I'm not a. I'll watch some zombie movies. I think they're fun, but you know, honestly, if I want to look at something horror based, I go other direction than zombies.
Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, I have a few of my staples. You know, I'll definitely watch. You know, you and I are talking. I think we're going to try to fit in somewhere. I think we're going to try to do the Zack Snyder. Was it Day of the Dead or the? Which one?
I think it was Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's one I like to watch again. I loved watching Army of the Dead. I thought that was so much fun.
I think
You know, and then, of course, the original Night of the Living Dead. The original and the 80s. I love them both.
I like any 80s zombies movies. They're actually kind of fun. They're all weird and shit, but I dig it.
Did you get a chance to watch Visions, since we're kind of hanging out in Disney Plus? Did you get a chance to watch Star Wars Visions?
No, I'm still on Bad Batch.
Okay. No, well, the only reason I'm going to tell you, you can start watching Visions because they're short. They're like eight minutes long, 10 minutes long, you know, 15. They're not episodic, but there's a whole bunch of episodes in like the first release.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, you can go in and watch one. Like I said, I think the first one, I think it was like 10 minutes long, 11 minutes long. But yeah, it's really, really, really cool stuff. You have different styles, different types of Japanese animation going on from different art houses. So you're definitely getting different styles and different storytelling. You're getting your big, big, bright-eyed anime stuff. You're getting very graphic and very rough drawings of things. You're getting the big explosions and the big, you know, movements that you see in a lot of anime. And sometimes you're not. You're getting very minimalistic, you know, martial arts stuff going on. So yeah, definitely check it out. You can, like I said, you can hop in and watch a couple of episodes and not feel like you're
kind of like I said, I'll watch that in between Bad Batch. I'm not actually digging.
So you did start watching Bad Batch, or you're getting ready to?
No, I'm in the middle of finishing episode one right now.
Oh, okay. So you just started. Okay.
I just started it, and I like it. It's like literally they put everything, you know, everything's in chronological order. That they show you where they're at. You're literally at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. You see Palpatine on the giant screen, like, hey, I'm slightly disfigured. You know, the Jedi. And you see, like, the Bad Batch, I guess they're called, what are they called? Clone Troop 99 or something?
Clone Troop 99, yep.
Clone Troop 99. Now, you see these different types of clones, which I've seen them before, but, like, this time it's more focused on them. And you see that other, I guess it's going to become part of their team later, is Omega. You see her like at the beginning of the episode, she's like a medical assistant. I dig it, man. I dig it. And I dig how they don't like the other troopers.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, they call them regs. Yeah, they don't like the regs.
They don't like the regs. And they have like their own little area, like in Genosis. I thought going back to Genosis was kind of cool. I was like, oh, shit. And
check out, there's a on YouTube, a guy spliced the end of Revenge of the Sith with the last episodes of Clone Wars, like splice them in as timing goes, because you were just making that comment that you know exactly where you are in the time of watching this. This guy took Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith and synced them up and like literally edited them in between each other. Really cool shit.
I gotta check that out. But I like what I see so far. And was that, well, now let me ask you this. Was that Kanan?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one thing a lot of folks had issues with. That's not Kanan's story from the comic books, which technically was canon. But I think they changed the story up. I think Dave like was given carte blanche to change his origin. Because in the origin, yes, it does happen. His mentor does get attacked. His master gets attacked by the clones and you know, dies, and he has to run off. She's like, you'll run, get away from here. But he doesn't run into the Bad Batch and do that, so...
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why it hasn't been quite clarification if they're just wiping out that comic book run. It was very short, like 5-episode book. I mean, it was really, really, really short. But a good read. But yeah, that was definitely Kanan. That they're in. Again, that's the one thing. It's the only thing I will give to Bad Batch that I was upset about is they spent a lot of time talking about characters we already know. Like, we saw Kanan. You're gonna see a couple other characters. You're like, okay, why are we going back and revisiting these other characters? Granted, great characters. I love Rebels. I love the Clone Wars. But I want to see more of what the Bad Batch is doing and where are they going, what's happening with them. There is literally one episode where they're not even in it until like the last 2 minutes.
That's really?
Yeah, when you get there, you'll be like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of odd.
Okay, well, I'm not looking forward to that. But so far.
your opinion might be different. One of our friends that watches it, she was okay with it. She was completely cool with that they did that.
Well, 45 minutes and I like it. Yeah. So I can see what all the hype was about. So
perfect. And I guess our last checkup episode is Titans. What are you thinking about Titans?
I love the middle of the episode.
Really? Just the middle?
And I love the middle stuff. Stuff where they're in like in between world or getting Leslie back or Wonder Girl. She's coming back. Tim Drake's coming back. Sad ending for Hawk, but you know, we knew he wasn't going to come back, but he was reunited with his brother. I did dig that.
Yeah.
So it was a definitive ending.
It gave him a closure, which I was happy about.
Maybe he'll come back someday. Who knows? I mean, there's always a chance.
Nope. Hawk and Dove are out there battling in the afterlife for the good of us.
Yes. Well, the two Hawks?
No. He was the original Dove.
Oh, was he? Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because it was them together. Then his brother died. It wasn't his brother, but he called him his brother. And then that's when the girl came in, which follows the original story of Hawk and Dove. Hawk and Dove were originally two guys.
Yeah.
And then later in, I think 80s or 90s, they brought in the girl. So I like that homage to, like we were talking about earlier, like them doing Ted Kord for Blue Beetle and they're making homages to it. I think that was a perfect for it. So,
But it was good. Yeah. The middle of the episode is awesome. So I love that.
And what was your problem about the rest?
Oh, I thought it was awful. I don't like the way they treated Bruce. Like, I'm okay with Bruce. It's looking, I get it. It's not a Batman show. I get that. I can have him being the bad dad too. I get that he's an asshole. I get that. But writing a will to kill himself in a castle is unforgivable. He would never, he would sacrifice himself, but he would not outright say, you know what, Dick, I'm done. And he's going to burn himself to death?
Nah. Oh, you don't burn yourself to death. You suffocate, and then you
suffocate. Like, he's killing himself in the fire. I'm like, and this Charles guy, didn't he know anything what he was going to do? Like, didn't you see what he was going to do, bro?
Yeah, you didn't hear the tone in Charles's voice? Are you sure about this? Yeah, no, he's sure. No, he definitely knew what was going on.
To kill him off is this. I don't know. I just don't like it.
It's treating your hero.
I get that, and I've talked to you about this 1,000 times. I get it. It's a different reputation. It's Titans. It's Titans. I get it.
It's not just Titans. It's a different world. So it's not your Batman. It's not your Batman. In fact, they set the tone from day one. Day one on this show, they set the tone. Fuck Batman. All right? Day one, they told you. How do they feel about Batman, and what are they going to be treating him as?
I'll tell you what, they nailed that.
This just isn't your Batman. You are Earth One, Prime Earth Batman. That's what you think. You don't know this guy's story.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know now.
I mean, he's older. That's the one thing. I love the actor. I think he does an amazing job on pretty much everything I've seen him in. I mean, you finally got a chance to see him in Game of Thrones. You really know what
he was awesome as Sword Sword.
He's not Bruce Wayne to me though. Just like this is not Scarecrow to you or me.
It's the pusher man.
Yeah. So these guys just are not what we know them as.
It's weird because they treat the other characters just fine, but can you call them legacy characters like Scarecrow and Batman? I mean, they treat them so just like, you know, like kind of like afterthoughts, like shitty. Like I can deal with Bruce being a dick because he is a dick. I get that. But to kill himself. He would never kill himself.
Felt like he failed, I think. I mean, really, when he boiled down to it, he feels like he failed. And, you know,
he would go to the exile. He would go, like, someplace else and live, like, as a monk or something. He would never kill himself.
Again, not your Bruce Wayne. Not your Batman. The same thing goes, like, with Gotham. You know, you're dead set against Gotham and what they did. And
at least Gotham got fun. It got to a point where it was like, yeah, all right, it's weird, it's stupid, I accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I still say DC is doing better in the television world than anywhere else. Their interpretations of everything that they've done onto television and in streaming has just been, you know, hands down amazing. You look at Titans, where, you know, we were just talking about, you know, Doom Patrol offline, about, well, how great they've been doing and what they've been doing in the storytelling they do. Just I just finished rewatching season 2 before I jump back into start watching season 3, and I was watching the episode with the party, you know, to bring back Danny. Uh-oh. And I'm just like, I'm watching this, I'm like, this is awesome that they're showing this party with, you know, transgender characters. And the one thing I realized after watching that episode, I was like, you know what, people will not stop talking about Fisher's Cyborg when we have an amazing Cyborg and an actor who appreciates the character.
He loves it. He gives the character, as you said before, offline depth.
Yeah.
I've got a lot more depth into Vic Stone. I know more about his mom now. I know more about like his dad. Like the guy who played his dad, I think it's Miles Dyson from Terminator. He's great.
Yeah.
He was awesome as Victor's dad. And I like their relationship. And like there's like a hint of the Justice League that they're out there, but they're not. He's not a part of it, which is kind of cool. I dig what they do on Doom Patrol. I think that Stargirl, obviously right now it's coming out. First three episodes I think have been awesome. And I'm not a big fan of that, you know, those rung of the Justice Society, but actually starting to watch Stargirl got me to read those comics again. Like, who are these guys, you know? And seeing, like, the Justice League team up with the Justice Society, I think it's kind of cool. But, yeah, DC should always live in the TV world because I think their stories are and their characters, I'm not going to say that Marvel's are not, but I think as far as DC goes, they have so much to tell.
Yeah.
I don't think it can get done in a 2-3 hour movie.
Yeah, they're more long form.
They're more, DC's more long form. Look, dude, we have rattled off so many different runs of DC events. Like we've said Crisis on Infinite Earths, Darkest Night, shit, Metal is another one out there. There's tons of them, and they have those. Like Marvel has them too, like Secret Wars, I guess, is their big one. But DC has so many of them. And they're so layered, and they're so long.
Well, we don't even need to talk about the crossover events. Just talk about their stories. They're just their regular ones, because those are like every 5 years or so they do one of those. I'm talking about just how they build their character up and tell their story and tell their backstory about what these characters are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And like I said, you have that long term storytelling, which they're going to do. I think HBO Max is the perfect place for them because you got Lantern coming on. What else you got?
You got Lantern. You got Gotham coming out.
Batgirl is going to be on there. Which is interesting. They're talking about a Red Hood series, which I saw that online. That's something I wanted to report upon. I guess I'll tell you about it right now. They're talking about doing a Red Hood HBO Max series, I guess, because the response to Kerwin Walters as Red Hood. I don't think he's going to play that Red Hood. I think it's going to be somebody different, but they were mentioning what's going to be in the series. And I think a Red Hood series could be cool. Because the first thing that I did dig when I was reading this article, it said Batman is there. He's going to be a big part of the show, but he's there because obviously he's part of the Red Hood. You know, maybe they use him like they use him on Titans, like as a mentor, which is kind of be cool. But I want to see him in the cape and cowl, not just out being Bruce Wayne all the time. But I think that'd be kind of cool doing like a Red Hood and a Batgirl. Like you have these subsidiary Batman characters, which I would love. We got Dick Grayson now, so why not Jason Todd? Why not Barbara Gordon? You know, yeah. I'm up with that, so.
Yep, we shall see. The last one I have, The Witcher Season 3 announced. We haven't even gotten Season 2 yet, which is going to be dropping soon. But yeah, they have announced The Witcher Season 3 as well. Netflix has decided to go ahead and create a second anime film. And for some strange reason, a kids series for The Witcher, which is kind of interesting. I know the games are out there, you know, the games are a big part of it, about the world. So I'm sure they could find some way of doing that. But the book series is pretty graphic. So it'd be interesting to see what they do.
I was not a fan of the game. Didn't like the game. It was too, the mechanics of the game were just so off to me. Cause I like playing games that are like hacking and slashy where you're just able to move things quickly. This game was more like, you guys are not seeing this, but I'm just getting emotional.
No, I know what you mean, because I remember like the training sequence in I think it was a Witcher 3.
Yeah,
it was like, what is this?
It was so stupid and long and meticulous. Like, I get you want to, you know, hey, we're gonna give you the feeling what it feels like to be a real warrior, but like it's like too real. Like, and especially the fighting, it was like took forever to beat up a horse or something. It was series is great, game is not good. Don't buy the game.
But yeah, it looks like season 3, along with the anime featurette film. So that'll be the second film, the anime film they have, in the new kids and family series set in the world. I think the anime, I think, is going to be a origin story, or not origin story. It's going to be The Witcher, but Blood Origin, which is one of the books. It's basically a prequel to them. So I'm all about it. I mean, more Witcher is always better, and you know, to see and make sure that, you know, our Superman, who wasn't treated very nicely, you know, is still out there and, you know, getting work done.
Yeah, Henry Cavill, who probably will be the next James Bond. That's my prediction. But he does great in that series, and he's obviously signed for there's season 2 and 3.
Well, they're done with season 2. They're getting ready to drop that out. But yeah, they just announced season 3. I mean, you got to realize the book run. I think, how many books is there? 6 books.
Was there 6?
I think there are 5 or 6 books. But yeah, it's. I mean, there's enough stories to tell. It all depends on how they're going to do. Like, I know some books, some, like I've talked about it before, like some books that get transferred over to TV, they like mix novels. Like, it'll take, season one will be a mix of book one and two. Or, it'll be, or they'll break up a book into two seasons, like they did for The Expanse. They had two seasons or two books that they merged into one. And then on the, I think it was the third or fourth one, they split it up into two seasons for one book. I think they're doing that for the Wheel of Time. I think the season one includes parts of one, two, and three in the book series. So you definitely have that. I even think, which I just started recently, got into them, a Discovery of Witches book series. I know there's a show out about, based off of that. I started watching or reading those and started watching that. And my understanding is that they kind of do a mix as well. So if that's how they're going with the Witcher series, we should at least, see at least maybe 4 to 5 seasons, I think, at least from
Yeah,
that.
I think as long as they have an ending, I'm all about the endings now. So let's just have a definitive ending.
Yeah. Well,
Four to five.
I've been kind of looking at books. If I don't know that the book series has ended, I try not to pick it up until I know the final book's out. Or if it's a three, if it's like a trilogy of books, I'm good. I'm hopping on board and reading that. But if the series hasn't ended yet, I'm kind of pumping my brakes a little.
Yeah.
I got burned with Game of Thrones, so I'm kind of like leery about starting a book series.
Game of Thrones, oh boy, yeah. Well, even though I liked it, but I guess the book readers are.
Oh, no, I was okay with the show. I mean, I understand you can't do a complete perfect conversion from book to or translate translation from book to screen. It just is not going to happen. You have to, if I understand that they have to take certain things out, just don't take out the important character buildings in those moments. Those need to stay in there. If they need to cut something out, cut it out, but don't do it in sacrificing the overall character.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So you got anything else?
No, that's all I got for this week. I
All right, perfect. Well, guys, make sure you do check us out on Facebook. We got a very active community out there on Facebook, so make sure you guys do check us out. Kane's going to give you the address in a second. But make sure you also do check out Heroes Asylum, our midnight movie show. We've got every week we're coming out with either a watch along or a movie review. This month was Batman month, and next month, so by the time this comes out, we're going to be starting into
Horror!
October. Yeah, we're going to be dropping some horror movies, so make sure you guys get on board for that. It's going to be a fun little trip.
It's gonna be fun because it's the 1 month of the year that Mike and I do complete watch-alongs for horror movies. No reviews, just complete watch-alongs. It was talked about 2 weeks ago in a drunken stupor, but it is gonna happen. We have the movies written down. Thank Miss Marie for that, but it's gonna be lots of. Our selections are very good. That's what I want to say. I'm not sure if it's as good as last year, but I think it's on par. I think you guys will like it.
Yeah, I've been I think the last 2 weeks I've been priming myself for horror month. I've been watching a lot of horror movies,
So have
picking up.
I. Oh my God. Like the latest one we talked about, Malignant, man. I
Oh,
thought
great, great, great.
that you talk about new horror movies, like James Wan,
I
he just
got
nope.
I got nervous at the beginning of that. I got to be honest with
I did
you.
as well.
It's like, what is
Because
he doing?
I was like, is this the same trope we're going through? Because it looked like it. Oh, this is gonna be like a clone or a twin,
I
and
love the fact that he somehow was able to include every horror like trope or version. Like, it's psychological. It's an axe murderer, but it's also like a physical thing. I mean, there was just so many twists and turns in it. I was like, holy crap! I said, yeah, that first 30, 40 minutes. I was like, what is this? Is this
if you guys
Juan
haven't
really?
watched it, just wait till all I'm gonna say is wait for the jail scene. That to me is the price of admission, that jail scene.
Yeah.
Because that jail scene is just, that's it. If he filmed that just to make that, it was the bizarre existence.
Yeah, make sure you guys do check that out on HBO Max. But make sure you guys do check out for the Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies in October. So I hope you guys have a good week.
Yep. Twitter, Lobo. Twitter at Heroes Asylum _ podcast. Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Check out Lobos and Chair Shots. And from Mike to me to you. At the asylum. See ya.